For April 13th, 2007, it's the Lollabot Podcast.
Lollabot Podcast.
Safe to do podcasts on Friday the 13th? I hope it's not bad luck. We'll see how it goes. Hi, my name's Robert Douglas, and I'm alone here in the Lollabot Virtual Podcast Studio. No Jeff Robbins, no Webchick, no other Lollabots whatsoever. The other Lollabots are all in Providence, Rhode Island, teaching Drupal. They're on the last day of advanced theming today, having finished the advanced Drupal API classes earlier this week. Good stuff happening in Providence. I spoke with one of the attendees earlier this week, and he told me that it's going pretty well. He estimates that for every hour he's spending in the workshops, he's saving about a week of banging his head against his monitor back on the job. So, yeah, learning lots of stuff there. The highlight of today's podcast is an interview with Andrew Morton, a.k.a. Drewish, on Drupal.org. Andrew is one of 20 students who will be receiving Google Summer of Code stipends to work on Drupal projects this summer. So that interview is coming right up. But before we talk about Summer of Code or other Drupal news anymore, we have to step back and contemplate exactly what it means to be doing a Lollabot podcast without Jeff Robbins. I think it's the first one, really, in which Jeff hasn't led. Well, one thing that it means is that I get to talk about Jeff behind his back, and I'm going to do just that right now. You see, Jeff and I have a lot in common. Not only are we both passionate about Drupal, but we both have music in our history. 10 years ago, neither of us were thinking much about computers. We were on stage performing. I was a French horn player in an orchestra, and in a very similar way, Jeff was the front man for a rock band and had a top 10 hit playing on the radios. Now, you might say, wait a minute, that's not similar, and you're mostly right, but French horn players and rock stars were really not that different in the end. We both go out on stage, work the audience into an emotional frenzy, and then have to deal with crazy fans who want to give us their undergarments or have us sign body parts after the concert. I guess the biggest difference, really, then, is the age demographic of the audience. So yeah, you're right. French horn player, rock star, not really that similar. Anyway, Jeff went on and did this thing a couple weeks ago called the Drupal Song. It's a song that very effectively elicits a strong reaction from everybody who hears it. And then he asked people to do remixes, and wow, are those ever funny? And strangely enough, lots of Drupal developers have started pulling out their instruments and dabbling with maybe making a version of the song themselves. One guy asked me if he could borrow my MacBook so that he could use GarageBand to do his remix. Rumor even has it that one developer, an American guy who happens to live in Germany, went out and bought a MIDI piano keyboard to plug into the computer. His wife asked him if he intended to attempt his own remix of the Drupal song, and though he denied it in the depth of his heart, he knows that's exactly what he intends to do. So, the moral of the story is, way to go, Jeff! You wrote the Drupal song, and you've added another layer of fun and involvement to the Drupal community. You've inspired people to express themselves. That rocks. I'm proud of you. Back to the news. The big news this week is Google and their oh-so-cool Summer of Code program. For the third year in a row now, Google has decided to give stipends to college students during the summer to enable them to write code for open-source projects. The idea is that instead of having to find a job to try and earn money for college, these kids can go out and work on open source stuff that they're interested in and that they're passionate about. Google turns over the task of selecting these students and mentoring them to the open source projects themselves, and Drupal is taking part in this each year since 2005 when it all started. That year, we had 11 students, and in 2006, we had 14. Getting a lot of stipend allocations from Google is a good thing because each one brings new talent right into the Drupal world and keeps them busy writing Drupal code for 3 to 4 months. And because Google donates some money to the Drupal Association. So just imagine how thrilled we are that this year we've been given 20 spots. 20 students will get paid by Google to crank out Drupal stuff all summer long. We've got a roster of 45 experienced Drupal developers who will be mentoring these students, helping them find their way around the Drupal community, find resources, helping them solve any problems they may run into, showing them the Drupal way. We also have a group on groups.drupal.org, which is where all of the updates throughout the summer will be posted. It's the SOC-2007 group. That's groups.drupal.org/SOC-2007. Anyone can join the group and discuss the projects with the students and the mentors themselves. The students can also benefit from finding people who are willing to test their work, so check it out and follow along throughout the summer. Hot. So what are some of the projects that we're talking about? I'll do a quick rundown of the projects on the list and a little bit about what each one's going to hope to achieve. This is the scary part of the podcast, where I'll probably have my Friday the 13th bad luck, because I have to say all of these names, and I'm bound to get some of them horribly wrong, so apologies in advance. Gabor Hoitzi is going to work on improving the tools that translators have on Drupal.org for creating and distributing the translations for modules and Drupal code. This will help people who want to run Drupal sites in weird languages like Hungarian, Chinese, or Greek. Andrew Morton, whom I interview on this podcast in just a couple of minutes, will be working to make it easier for people to find useful modules. He's going to add quality metrics to the project descriptions so that you can see, for example, how well maintained or how popular a certain module is. Maxim Kitrov is going to build a Jabber XMPP communication interface for Drupal so that Drupal can talk directly to other applications such as GTalk that speak Jabber XMPP protocols. Jacob Petsovitz is going to take the project module, which is what Drupal.org uses to make downloads from the CVS repository, and make it so that it isn't specific for CVS, but rather so that it can work with any revision control system. This could be Subversion or BZR or whatever system you care to use. Hopefully, this will make Drupal and the project module a better choice for people who want to manage their software projects using Drupal. Klaus von Weisberg and Amila Sampath are going to write new core-worthy themes for Drupal. That's very exciting, since theming Drupal continues to be a relatively difficult and frustrating thing to do, and we've seen with the new Garland theme how much difference a core theme can make in the perception and acceptance of Drupal. Matthias Hutterer is going to write a taxonomy manager. This will be a sort of an advanced interface for managing large vocabularies, as I've understood it. Anthony Oliver intends to add better reporting and Gantt charts to the case tracker module. Balazs Dianiska is going to give Drupal SVG, scalable vector graph drawing support, so that one can create vector drawings right there in the browser. Aaron Novak, a veteran of Summer of Code 2006, is going to be working to consolidate the 5 or so disparate feed parsing modules that exist and come up with a central RSS Atom API for Drupal that brings some order into that area and guarantees that Drupal stays ahead of the curve in terms of feed handling. Scott Hatfield is going to do some work on setting up Drupal installations that push the limits of scalability and high availability. He's going to provide code that automates benchmarking of Drupal so that we can more easily focus on the performance implications of any given patch or change that we make to the code base. Jacob Pertz is going to write an eBay integration module. Yay! Blake Lucchesi is going to work to improve Drupal's search engine. Christopher Bradford is going to write a BitTorrent tracker to help people run sites that have large files for download. Kyle Cunningham is going to free Drupal from the shackles of private versus public file handling and make it so that your Drupal installation can do it both ways. Alistair Behari is going to do some work on automating the provisioning and deployment of Drupal sites with the aim of making it easier to test Drupal and distribute specific configurations of sites. Benjamin Malençon will be writing an extended Foxonomy module that gives communities a democratic way to create official tags and categories. William White is working on an SMS framework for Drupal sites so that you can have more Drupal on your cell phone. Reinhard Spikerman wants to improve Drupal's file handling, and Garthiban Ganeshapillai, has an idea to make linking to content on your site easier by using a form of auto-completion of content links. So that's the roundup. It's going to be an exciting summer, and we'll certainly be talking about these projects, and most likely to many of these students, right here on the Lullabot podcast as things progress. So, without further ado, let's move on to the conversation I had with Andrew Morton. Andrew Morton, welcome to the Lullabot podcast.
Well, happy to be here.
You are Drewish on Drupal.org and on IRC, and you are, oh man, the stuff that you do, it just goes on forever. You are the maintainer of a lot of modules. You've got, let's see, here's the list. You've got the station module, you've got the audio module, the image module, Flickr, review, documentation, file manager, upload, Drupal.org, testing. It just goes on and on and on. How did you end up with so many modules?
Well, I've sort of ended up on a few of them. Some of them, I'm kind of sad to say that I haven't been able to keep up with as much as I'd like to. The Flickr, fortunately, there's been a couple of other people that have sort of stepped up. Andrew Levine, I think, and a couple other unpronounceable usernames have definitely been very helpful on that. And the image module is kind of my new tar baby that I sort of started kicking and now can't really get rid of.
Right.
It's been, you know, pretty helpful for some other sites. And audio's just been, audio and station are out of my work with KPSU, which is a college radio station, and kind of what got me involved in Drupal in the first place.
Right. So I wanted to ask you about what you do with that station. So I've got the website here. It's kpsu.org, and that's your college radio station, right?
Correct, yeah. And it's not the prettiest site. I try to stay away from the theming, and so I kind of just roll the Drupal theme out of the kind of existing site that they'd had, and like I said, it's not the prettiest, but the station module stuff that I did is meets a niche that a lot of the smaller radio stations that aren't like a Clear Channel or the big kind of corporate stuff have picked up. So the module's been used by a lot of community and college stations, and even a couple of commercial ones, which is kind of funny. There's a few down in Texas. Somebody set up four different commercial radio sites with the module, and it provides some scheduling. And the part that I'm pretty proud of, but is probably illegal, depending on what jurisdiction you're in, is the archive, where it creates an hour block of each show that's been broadcast on the web stream, and then uses the audio module to make that available. And if you take a look at the archives, you can kind of see some of the programming that we've done. And there's a few other stations that are using it. I think most of those are smart enough to keep the archives as a private thing that's visible only to staff or students on campus. WSUM.net, I think, is one of the other ones, and he's, the admin there is a really great guy. He's he knows how to get a patch committed. I actually am staring at the box of beer that he mailed me. It was a local microbrew and kind of one of the main benefits, I guess, of having good contributors is when they send beer.
So mentioning beer, I see on your website, which is drewish.com, that you are a brewer and a bottler of beer yourself. How do you find time for all of that? You not only write Drupal modules, but you brew your own beer. Tell me about your beer. Is it good?
It's pretty horrible. It's been kind of a learning experience. My fiance now, her dad, had gotten into homebrewing, and of course he's doing it like it's not really fair to call it homebrew because it's 35-gallon batches, and he bought a brewery and kicked out the tenants because they weren't paying rent, and then started playing with all the equipment that they had laying around, and he given me a couple of things, and I was like, well, I'm going to give this a try, and I'm kind of the opinion that I probably shouldn't be doing it, so in the future I think I'll just help him with his.
So let's see. Let's look at some of the other things you've done before we get to the main feature, and that is your Summer of Code project for the year. You are the author of an API, a PHP API, to integrate with Flickr, the Flickr API. And this is called the Flickr API. Now, it's hard since we're in audio format here. I'll spell it out. It's PHLICKR. And you can see that on drewish.com/projects-flickr, PHLICKR. What can you do with this library? It seems pretty comprehensive for like integrating with Flickr and stuff like that.
Well, I was, sort of a scratch your own itch, and I was, trying to get Flickr onto my movable type website and didn't want to learn Perl, so I kind of rolled some stuff in PHP and wanted to learn some of the PHP 5 features. And I'm sort of sad to say it's been surpassed by a lot of my Drupal work, so I haven't updated a lot of it. But it, had some really kind of fun features, like you could do things like sort your photo sets by hue. So if you wanted them, in a nice little kind of rainbow pattern, you could do that. Or upload your photos, set tags, that kind of thing. It was, just a real fun kind of learning experience, and I learned a lot more about PHP, and, it then turned itself into I was co-author of the book with a user who's, I guess his girlfriend at the time had been working at A-Press, and so, he's like, well, hey, I could write a book, and then he talked me into it, and it seemed like a sort of a very straightforward process. And having done that, I swore that I would never attempt such a task again.
I understand. Being the co-author of an A-Press book myself, I know that it's a lot of work. So you're talking about Rob Kunkel, and you're talking about the book Building Flickr Applications with PHP, which you can find on Amazon.com and the A-Press.com website. So you and Rob Kunkel wrote this book that basically, it starts, I read it. It's fun. It starts off talking about, some basic PHP stuff, and it takes the point of view that, you're like this person who's got a website and you don't necessarily do a lot of programming to begin with, but you really want to integrate with Flickr. So here's some basic PHP stuff, skills to get you started, and then it introduces you to the Flickr API, and I have to learn how to say that, the Flickr APIs, so you know that I'm talking about the PHLICKR API that you wrote. And then the rest of the book then goes in and talks about how to use the Flickr API.
Rob did a brilliant job on that. I mean, he did the majority of the writing. I did, I think, pretty much all I'm to blame for is the installation instructions and the RSS, and then I sort of helped him out with a lot of the examples. But, he did an amazing job on that, and that's totally to his credit and not nearly as much to mine.
Oh, sure. Modesty. whatever. You wrote the API. Let's not forget that. I did have a specific technical question about that and with regards to Drupal. So before we get to the main section of the interview, the Summer of Code project, maybe I can ask that question. I was wondering if you could describe a little bit what makes Flickr's authentication system unique. Now, they've got an authentication system that lets, for example, a third-party application make a request to Flickr and say, am I allowed to do this on the behalf of so-and-so user and stuff like that? And that's like a totally different paradigm and a totally different way of thinking compared to Drupal's authentication. And in building these Drupal Flickr integration APIs, how do you see that being negotiated and that being how do you see that playing together, and what could we learn from their authentication?
Oh boy, that's a kind of a big question, and you'll have to forgive me if I sort of screw up the details of Flickr's authentication. But the basic premise is that rather than having to enter your username and password into a third-party site to grab your photos off Flickr and then, you know, maybe display them on the site, or all we're doing with Flickr's photos, you know, put them on business cards or, you know, whatever, they let the app or the website request what they call an authentication token from Flickr, and says, for this user account, you know, can I get permission to delete, read, write, you know, whatever permissions they need to do their feature. And then the user, you know, gets prompted with a login window to Yahoo now. And then, you know, they say, okay, yes, I'd like to grant this application, write permissions, I understand that it means they'll be able to see my private photos, lada. And then they, you know, enter their username and password and grant the permissions to that application. And then the application can check and say, okay, do I have permissions? Here's my auth token now. And then in the subsequent calls, they can use that auth token to, you know, instead of having to pass the username and password back to Flickr, they just pass that auth token. And then do some signing on the URL so that, you know, Flickr knows that this application is the one that's submitting it, and so then they can match an application to a user with certain permissions. And it's a pretty elegant, if not simple, process. And I don't know. I think something. Well, if you watched Dries's State of Drupal speech.
Watch it. I was there.
Well, I had to settle for the Google video because I couldn't quite make it down there. But when he was talking about moving to or the possibility of using Drupal as more of a back end for web services, you know, something like that would be definitely should be considered when we think about how to do the authentication and how to make you know, Drupal that kind of a platform.
Right. And I agree. Elegant, if not simple. And this process, by the way, is described pretty well in the book, which we mentioned, which is, one more time, called Building Flickr Applications with PHP. And so that's one bonus of reading the book. Yeah, so I suppose, without further ado, we should probably talk about your Summer of Code project. You're going to be doing a project that's called Project Quality Metrics System. It's kind of an obtuse title, but what it really means, now correct me and make sure I'm getting this right, is that when you go to Drupal.org in the future and you're looking at a module and you're thinking about whether or not you want to download that module, you'll have more information about how well that module works, how popular it is, how maintained it is, and you've got, like, hopefully some more information, quality metrics, about that project, that module, or that theme, so that you can make a more educated decision about whether or not you want to download and install it. Is that basically the idea?
I'd say that's exactly it. I mean, I've been doing Drupal stuff for a year and a half now, and you know, every time you hit the projects page, I mean, there's new modules on there, and you know, so you go looking for something to do reviews with, and you're presented with 10 different modules that all sound like they probably do what you want, but well, and Derek Wright has done an amazing job with the release system. So at least now, you know, when I first started, you couldn't tell what worked for what version and what had been updated, and now a lot of that is very clear. But it's still hard to say, okay, of these 10 modules, which ones are, you know, who's still maintaining them? I mean, I'm guilty of starting some modules, namely a review module, and then kind of abandoning them when I no longer needed them for my own, you know, own sites. And so the idea with this is it's come out of a lot of stuff that Andrew Byron, aka Webchick, had started, and even Dries had a blog post kind of outlining what the ideal system would be. So I mean there was a lot of legwork that other people had done, so it made for a very easy summer of code project, in that there were plenty of ideas, and it was, you know, how do you kind of formulate this into a system that would be kind of flexible to where you could build a system to kind of weigh all these different factors, because there's, you know, a lot of things that go into determining how well maintained a module is. If there's, you know, sort of when I pull up a project and I'm trying to kind of evaluate it, the first kind of things I look at are, you know, look at the issue queue. Well, if it's an empty issue queue, odds are no one's using it, and to me that's kind of a bad sign. If there's not even anyone kind of requesting features or complaining about something, you know, it may do something and may do it very well, but I'm going to pass over that because I'd rather have one that some other people have worked through and found all the bugs and,
right,
you know, complained about. And, you know, being able to find out how many people are developing on it and that sort of thing. And so the idea of this is really to just pull those out and let people see those at a glance and then figure out, you know, what they want to you know, do that accordingly.
So what are the metrics that you actually plan on implementing? I understand that it's supposed to be an extensible system, right? So that other people could implement other metrics, sub-modules that rate the module in different ways. What are the ones you're planning on implementing?
Well, yeah, like you said, initially it'll be kind of a framework so that there's you know, just some plugins or maybe a hook that, you know, any other module can implement to provide the metrics. And then I was sort of envisioning kind of grouping those into, say, Axbys, where you would have like a popularity in terms of how many people are down, have downloaded it, how many people have installed it on their site. I guess you know, there's somebody's got a project status or release status module that will show you when you're modules are out of date, and as a side effect, can send that information back to Drupal.org to you know, for statistical purposes. And so, being able to gather that information, you could figure out how popular a module is. Looking at the issue queues, you could see you know, sort of how active you know, in terms of support requests, you know, how long is one open, you know, how many are there. You could kind of then sort of create an axis for support, you know, how well supported is this module. You'd have another that you look at the CDS module to determine how many commits are made, how, you know, are old versions committed to. I mean, these are all the kind of things that you could do. I think the trick in terms of this as a summer code project will be targeting it more towards Drupal.org, so that, you know, figuring out what are the simplest things you can use to kind of get the sense of the project, and you know, do it with kind of the least amount of resources, because on a, you know, Drupal.org, it's, you know, a lot of sites and a lot of traffic, and you know, how do you do that efficiently?
Right. One of the things that's been holding us back from, say, adding ratings to modules so far is that Dries was unimpressed or unconvinced about the existing solutions for rating nodes. He wanted one that was lightweight, easy to use, and not too resource intensive. So hopefully all of that will go away. We're going to get, you know, new database server for Drupal.org, and going to be a lot faster, and maybe resources won't be such an issue in the future. But I'm excited about this year's Summer of Code projects, because your project and several of the other projects are all targeted at either making Drupal.org better or Drupal core better. And this is kind of a departure from the years past, where the projects all tended to be really contained to the contributed module world, where, you know, some really great idea like content recommendations or the quiz module, but it really didn't have anything to do with Drupal itself or Drupal.org itself. And this year we're supporting projects to make core themes, and we're supporting projects like this one to do the project metrics for Drupal.org projects. So you're going to be a group of students that are really actively working towards improving these tools that we all depend on. I think that's really cool this year. That's one of the great features of Summer of Code 2007. Oh, and I also wanted to mention you have great mentors for this project. Your mentors are going to be Angela Byron, aka Webchick, and Derek Wright himself. So yeah, I think you've got everything's lined up for a home run on this one. We're all looking forward to what you do with it and how it turns out. I should mention to the people listening that as the summer goes on, you'll be able to monitor the progress of Andrew's project and all of the other Summer of Code projects that Drupal's working with on groups.drupal.org. There's a group called SOC, Summer of Code, SOC 2007, and that's where Andrew and everybody else will be posting weekly updates and progress reports, and where they'll be turning to the community at large for help and for assistance testing, and when you want to try out the code and stuff like that. That's where you can stay in touch with the development of Summer of Code 2007. So yeah, Andrew Morton, maintainer of the audio module, image module, brewer of beer, radio personality, Flickr expert, and now Summer of Code 2007, making the projects on Drupal.org easier to navigate and understand. So thanks a lot, Andrew, and pleasure talking to you.
Well, it's been great talking to you too, Robert.
Cool. Take care. Bye.
All right, thanks.